He's got us all under control. Amen. He has it all under control. And I just want to come in this morning and remind you of that. Also want to give a shout out to the women at the Well. They're so grateful for what God is doing there at the Women of the Well, that our ladies are coming in, spending time with one another, learning, amen, and growing. Remember, the Women of the Well is absolutely open to anybody, whosoever will. You know, we don't charge. The gospel is free. Amen. You know, so if you get a chance, go to our website and click on the Women's Ministry, and you'll see the women at the Well. They meet on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, and it's a virtual space. Amen. Just like you're seeing me here, they have their own virtual room. There's nobody in there but women, and they have women talk, and they end up blessing. I know they've been, Sister Pam has been blessing them with the power of communion. Amen. Communion for healing, and communion for breakthrough, and communion for all these different things that we've just tied into this one instance. But he's given us that. He said, "What? Do this as an often as what necessary." Amen. So it doesn't mean that we just tied to doing it one time. You know, that one time a year that people just do it at Easter, or they do it at the first of the year, and some churches do it every single month. But to remind us to do this as often as possible. Amen. Amen. I want to give honor to my beautiful wife, First Lady Ely. I'm just so grateful to her and the children and those here of my house and my mother-in-law. They do a lot of sacrifices so that I can do what I believe God has called me to do. And those who support us, both physically and financially, and with your prayers. What we do here is not easy. It's a lot of, obviously it's a lot of work. We're doing a lot. But nonetheless, God is good, and I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful that I'm healthy in my body, far as I know, that I got life, I got health, I got strength. The little aches and stuff I have are gone, amen. And we just, we're in a good space, amen, as we go forward on this day. We want to go right into the Word of God, I believe, that God has given us on today. And sometimes, how many of you know you feel like you're just working on both hands? That you got something going on over here. You're working, you're working, you're working. And then you got something over here, and you're working, you're working, you're working. And it seems like you're working on both hands. You know, you got this thing, this double duty going on. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about that double duty, that a number of us, that we find ourselves here in this place of a double duty, that we fighting and we're moving and we're struggling. And say, Lord, what is going on? Lord, why aren't we are where we are? And what's the situation, what's the circumstance? And I think once you get some context to the situation, once you get some context to the circumstance, then it makes a little bit more sense. And therefore, you can fight a little harder. You can fight a little bit more. You can fight a little bit longer. Amen. And so I want to share with you on this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. I know we don't go there often. A lot of people really don't go in that book. But we're going to go to the book of Nehemiah this morning. Amen. And I want to go specifically to Nehemiah. We're going to go to 14. Nehemiah 4th chapter. I'm sorry, verse 14 through 23. I got a little bit of reading. It's not that long. It's just a number of verses, but it's not that long. So I'm going to put this up on the screen. We're talking about Nehemiah 4 and 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there a hallelujah in your spirit this morning? Grateful, grateful. All right, so let's read this, okay? And it says this, and it goes as such. It says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass that from that time forth, that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear, the shield, and the bows, and the hangers, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. They which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laden, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so built. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. And what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the sun, on the rising of the morning, till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servants lodge with Jerusalem, that in the night that they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brother, nor my servant, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. If I were used for a subject this morning, we want to talk about double duty, working and armed. Double duty, working and armed. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, start us in our right mind. Lord, we thank you for the activity of our limbs. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for holding us and keeping us, Lord Jesus, and loving on us, oh God. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch them and keep your people. Lord, bless your word on this day. Lord, let your word go forward, Lord Jesus. Let it be a word that's in season, oh God, that speaks to people's hearts and their minds and their souls and their spirits, oh God. You know where they are. You know what they're going through. You've seen them, oh God. You've seen the circumstance. You've seen the weapons that were formed, Lord. You see the enemies, oh God. You see them that sitteth on the wall, Lord. You see those who are working on the wall, Lord. You see those who've given up. You've seen those, Lord, who are on the verge of giving up, Lord. You see those who are strong, Lord. You see those who are mighty. You see those who are weak, Lord. You see those who are steadfast, Lord, and I just want to say thank you, Lord. We acknowledge you in your grace and your love and your power and your strength, oh God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free, Lord, you be upon us, oh God, that it strengthen us, oh God, that it open up the doors, Lord Jesus, and it hold us and keep us, oh God. Help us to go forward, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, Lord, and we give your name all the honor, all the praise, the glory, and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone, for we dare not touch that glory. But we honor you, Lord. We ask you to do all these things to others in the mighty name of Jesus. But we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. The book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Okay, let's go back here. All right, so here we're looking in the book of Nehemiah. If you know anything about the story of the Nehemiah, that Nehemiah went to rebuild a wall. What happened, in fact, was, as I give you context of this story, is that Nehemiah was actually a cupbearer in the king's house. He was a cupbearer. He was not the king, but he was a cupbearer, and they knew him as one of the, what they call one of the governors here. And what Nehemiah was doing is he was a cupbearer here in the king's house, and what would typically happen to someone was a cupbearer that they what? They served the king. You know, they would actually maybe take sips and drinks of the wine or whatever it is that they were about to eat before the king got it. Why? Because if it killed him, then they know what? That it would kill the king. So it was not a bad position to be in. No, you were not in charge. No, you were not the king. No, you were not, you know, you were calling the shots. But it was still not a bad position to be in. Why? Because you got to eat what the king ate. You got to be where the king got to be. You got to travel with the king. But also, there comes what? Vulnerability with traveling with the king. Why? Because the king always has a target on his back. There's always somebody looking to overtake the kingdom. There's always looking for somebody looking to come in and take over and build their own palace and build their own situation, their own. So the king is always vulnerable, but it's important that you're there. So here we find that Nehemiah is here and he's serving with the king. And the king noticed that was something about his countenance. The king had noticed that Nehemiah was not happy, that Nehemiah wasn't, he wasn't like he normally would. He went over the top and just all excited about being there. He wasn't all, and he could tell that something was wrong with him. And instead of, see, when you, that the Bible talks about, if you go and you read those chapters before that, the Bible talks about that Nehemiah had what? Favor. How many of you know that at the end of the day, if you have the favor of God, that the favor of God will open up doors for you that have been closed to you? Oh, come on, somebody. That the favor of God, and I talked about favor, and we typically talk about favor in terms of access. That favor simply means that what I have access, that I have access to you, that I have access to them. And what he had favor, why? Because he had access to the king. And because he had access to the king, then he had access to the king's ear. He knew what the king liked to hear. He knew what the king needed to hear. And therefore, what he had this countenance on his face where he was not happy. And the king asked him, said, my dear servant, what's wrong with you? Basically, why you're not happy? And he says, because the city of Jerusalem. And if you read the book of Ezra, if you go to Ezra, you'll find that Ezra talks about this story also. In the book of Ezra, it says that the kingdom, that the city of Jerusalem was rebuilt, but it did not have protection. The city of Jerusalem had a wall that was around it, and the wall was gone. So it left the city of Jerusalem vulnerable. Him being what from Jerusalem, him being of Jewish culture, that what? That means that his hometown was vulnerable. That the area was vulnerable to attack. It could be taken over at any time. And even though the city was built, the city was beautiful, it was nice, that what? It was always a subject to attack. Mm-hmm. So now we find that what? He's sad about that. And the king asked him, said, what can I do to help change your countenance? He said, well, grant me, O king, the opportunity to go serve thy people and go rebuild the wall. So he said, let me have the opportunity to go rebuild the wall. So now Nehemiah, and what happens is now the king has said, if that's what you wish to do, then I will grant you the opportunity to go. So now he's what, a governor, and he's going to rebuild the wall that's around the city. But there are some problems that he runs into. There's some circumstances that he runs into. There's some other people who are there before him. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know sometimes there may be people before you? So now as he goes there and he tells them that what his job is now, that he's coming in to rebuild the wall. But we find as he go in there to rebuild the wall, and the king has given him what? The king's ransom to be able to go do it. Watch this. He's asked to go rebuild the wall, and the king said that he will finance the job. That's favor. The favor that God has given not Nehemiah here, that Nehemiah now is taking the favor of God. Not only does he get to go back and rebuild the wall, but now the wall gets to be rebuilt with the king's money. Okay, so now they go in and he goes in and he's rebuilding the wall, but the wall around the city for the city's protection. But there's some other people there. There's three other governors there. These three other governors there now is this one named Sanballat. You've probably heard that name before. Sanballat, the Horonite. Then there's Tobiah, the Amorite, and Jeshurun, the Arab. These three other governors are there, and what they are also there, they are what? They are overseeing the rebuilding of the city. And because they are overseeing the rebuilding of the city, there's some turmoil going on here. There's some jealousy going on here. There's some strife going on here. There's some envy going on here. There's some issues going on here. And their job is here. What they're going to do is, they're doing each and everything that they can do what? To discredit Nehemiah. Their job here is that, and not necessarily their job, but they come in within themselves that what? They're not going to let him be successful at rebuilding this wall. Even though he has the king's backing. Even though he has the king's money. Even though he has the king's blessing. They're going to try to stop him. How many of you know that sometimes in your situation, you can have the king's backing, you can have the king's blessing, you can be doing all the right things, but there is going to be a Sanballat in your life. There's going to be a Arab in your life. I mean, a Geshem in your life. There's going to be a Tobias in your life. And what they, watch this, what they don't realize is what they're doing is all they're doing is pushing you to the next level. All they don't realize what they're doing is all they're doing is pushing you closer to God. And pushing, and what happens is, as they go in and they attempt to rebuild the wall, they are always under the threat of being attacked. They are always under the threat of being under siege. And Nehemiah has what? A gift of administration. And Nehemiah is able to administrate and put things in place and put things in order, because this is part of who he is. God has given him this tremendous gift that some people don't even realize. Sometimes you have giftings and things that God has given you. And sometimes there are things and situations and circumstances in your way that are not necessarily things that you made, but what they're there to make you strong. They're there to challenge you. They're there to force you to look at things a little differently. Sometimes we run into these things, and sometimes we get to the point that we want to give up. We want to quit. We want to throw in the towel. How many of you have ever been to the point that you just want to quit? How many of you been to the point that you just want to give up? Sometimes I get so frustrated. You say, Lord, you gave me a job to do. Lord, you put me here. Lord, you opened up a door. Lord, you made a way. Lord, why is it so hard for me to do the right thing? Lord, why is it so hard for me to push forward? Lord, why is it so hard for us to bless your people? And what I'm reminded is that some people have their own agendas. Some people have their own thing. Some people, well, here you find that Sam Ballard, they have their own agenda. Why? Because they were building the city and they didn't want him in there. And all he wanted to do was build the wall so the people could be protected. All he wanted to do was build the wall so that the people were not vulnerable. All he wanted to do to build the wall, this is what's about Nehemiah boasting to himself. This wasn't about Nehemiah, you know, putting himself and putting a crown on his head. But this was simply Nehemiah doing what? For the greater good. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, be prepared. When you decide that you're going to do something for the greater good, that all hell is going to break loose. That you're going to be what, doing some double duty. That you're going to be fighting, but you're going to be building at the same time. See, the Bible tells us that as they were on the wall, that they came to a point in time that they had what? A sword in one hand and they had a brick in another. They had a sword, a shield in one hand and they had some mortar in the other. They had a spear in one hand and they had a trowel in the other. See, brothers and sisters, on today, I want to remind you that I know the road is getting tough and I know the road is not easy, but we're in double duty. And God has called us to double duty, just like we've been in the double harvest, that the double harvest requires double duty. That sometimes I got to be fighting them off with this hand, but still building with the other. Sometimes you got to be working this job, but working on this job over here. Sometimes you got to be in this situation, but know that you're working out to get out of this situation. You got to know that this is where you are, but this is the vision. This is where I'm standing, but this is where I'm going. Oh, come on, somebody. All y'all with me this morning. Hallelujah. Yes. So here what? He finds himself that what? They're working here. Mm-hmm. They're working in the on the wall. They're working on the wall, and what they're running into opposition with Sanballat. The Sanballat what repeatedly tries to destroy Nehemiah. He comes on him in all kinds of ways and circumstances. If you read on down to chapter 5 and 6, and you find all the cutting things that they try to do, you find how the enemy tries to set him up, and how but what they try to even lure him into a trap. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you today, be careful, because they're trying to lure you into a trap. Don't take the bait. Peter, don't take the bait. You, don't you take the bait. Why? Because they don't mean good. But you're in it, what? You're not in it for you. You're in it for the city. You're in it to protect the city. Why? Because there's some who can't protect themselves. And God has called us to a higher order. He's called us that, for the, what, that some of us, he put us watchmen on the wall. We're there to sit on the wall and we're there to watch. See, the Bible says that he said that there was one who blew the trumpet. Why? Because they had to spread out. And see, one of the easiest things to do is this thing they call what? Divide and conquer. And when you divide and conquer, what they do is what? They spread the enemy out and they try to take them over one by one, one by one, one by one. And if they take them over one by one, then what? Then they can win the battle. But when they're together, this is why it's important for us to be together. When we have a call to prayer, it's important for us to come to prayer. Why? Because it's a call for us to get together. It's a call for us to come together. It's a call for us to work. It's a call for what? Protection when we come together. So the Bible says that he told them that, why are you working on the wall? I'm going to keep the trumpet boy by me. And you need to work over there because there's some things on that side of the wall that need to be fixed. And there's some things on this side of the wall that needs to be fixed. And I can't do it because I can't be all places at one time because I'm human. I am limited in my ability to do things. I'm limited in my ability to do whatever it is that I got to do. However, when you hear the trumpet sound, when you hear the call to battle, when you hear the call to come forth, that what you are to come here as quick as possible with the sword in your hand and be prepared to fight. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that we got to fight for what we want. The Bible says what? The kingdom of God suffer violent and the violent take it by force. And then he reminds us that what? That we serve a God which is great and terrible and will fight for the brethren. So he tells us what, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your houses. Fight. And what? And he's fighting for us. He said, what? I'm more with you than they is with them. That if he's with us, and you know he's with us, and you're doing his will, if you're doing his way, if you're following his commandment, if you're doing the will of God, it's more with you than it is with them. And you got to know and believe that. You got to know that in your spirit. You got to know that in your heart. You got to know that in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. And as I'm working through it, and you working through it, this to remind us that we're fighting to do a double duty. There's double work going on. Yes, I'm fighting on this hand, but I'm continuing to build. Continue to administrate, continue to go forth. And watch this. And what happens is, at the end of the day, all these things come. And for all 52 days, they build this wall. And every single trick of the enemy was flawed. Every single trick of the enemy failed. And we find in 52 days, they built the wall around the entire city. 52 days, it was transformed. Things that was going on for years were transformed in 52 days. I believe that 52 days, I feel it on you, Lord. I believe in 52 days that there's going to be an awakening for you. I believe in 52 days that something's going to happen in my situation, and whatever happens, it's going to be for my good. In 52 days, something's going to happen. Mark it. Today is March the 20th. Count 52 days. Somebody put it in the chat for me. What is 52 days from today? We want to mark this on the calendar so you can come back and testify in 52 days that it transformed. Because it took Nehemiah and them 52 days to do this job. And in those 52 days, they were what? They were fighting with one hand and they were continually building with the other. 52 days. So for those who are taking notes, I know some of you do take notes. Let me tell you, let me give you a little bit on the notes. So number one, when you're building the wall, you got to have the support of the king. See, without the support of the king, what Nehemiah is doing here is near impossible. Why? Because Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem do not want him there. But they can't overrule the king. So if the king knows who he is, if the king understands his authority, if the king understands his power, if the king understands his position, then he would not be able to threaten. So this is why what? Favor is important. You got to have the support of the king or you're doing nothing. Got to have the support of the king. Number two, the Bible talks about they had willing workers, that they came together. When it gets tough, they didn't quit. See, some of us, when things get tough, we want to give up, me included. But God has been taking us through a season in this last 6 to 8 months that he's been teaching me some things. And they've been some tough lessons, church. He's teaching you some things. They've been some little tough lessons, church. They've been some tough lessons. Why? Because he's trying to move us to the next level. And that next level, some of the things that I have on me, I can't take to that next level. Some of the things that I struggle with, I can't take to that next level. Some of the things that I fight with, that God said, no, you can't take it down and what? And thrive. It's too much weight. The Bible said, lay aside every weight that so easily beset you. So the weight that you carry cannot allow you to what? To fly high on that level. Why? Because it's making you fly low. See, what happened is some of us are not as flying as high as we should be. Why? Because we carry weight. See, when you carry a lot of weight, one of two things got to happen. Either you got to release some of the weight or you got to have more power. You either got to release some of the weight or you got to have more power. I'm here to tell you today that it's easier to relieve some of the weight than it is to get more power. Think about it. If a bird is flying, he's carrying more weight. Either he has to flap his wings with more power to get the same altitude or he relieves the weight. I've seen birds sometimes when I've been fishing and they go in and they scoop a fish and sometimes the fish is so heavy. What they do is that the fish is so heavy that it's keeping them down to the water. So what they started doing, they start and they let the fish go. And as soon as they let the fish go, what do? You soar to the next level. I'm here to remind some of you today, in this 52 days, there's some things that you gotta let go. And when you decide to let them go over these 52 days, what you're gonna find is that you're gonna soar. In these 52 days, you're gonna soar. You know what it is that you're holding on to. You know what it is. Why? Because you feel like it's a part of you. You feel like you got to have it to go to the next level. You feel like this is what made you. And I'm here to tell you today, it wasn't what made you. It was God's favor, God's love, his kindness, and his grace towards you. For it's not we that's made us, but it's he that's made us. And we have to be reminded of that. See, it's easy. I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy for me to talk like this when I'm under the anointing and when I'm preaching. But you know what? When I walk out of here, I got hell I have to deal with too. I got things I got to deal with too. My life circumstances happen to me too. So this is why, you know, when we preach under the unction of the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost, this is why the Bible talks about us being able to live and pray and walk in the Holy Ghost at all times. Why? Because if I'm living and I'm praying and I'm walking in the Holy Ghost, I got the power to do it. My problem is, and your problem is sometimes when we get out of the Holy Ghost and we see ourselves. Do you remember the story when Peter was walking out of the water? What happened was Peter was walking and he said, Jesus, if that is you, bid me to come. And Peter said, yes, Peter, come. And then Peter's walking out of the water and he's doing his thing. And then all the other people said, Peter, you shouldn't be walking on that water. And then he starts to listen to them and he starts to look. And the Bible says he starts to sink. And then what? God reaches his hand and he saves them. That's most of our problem, is that we're listening to too many people and not listening to him, me included. Can I preach to myself this morning? So instead of us seeking the creator, instead of us seeking God, instead of putting it in God's hand, letting him fight that battle and say, Lord, I'm over here. I'm going to keep working with this hand and I got the shield in this hand. We try to fight it ourselves. So God, point two, he's looking for some work, willing workers, that when it gets tough, that you're not going to quit. Mm-hmm. Number three, there's always going to be a Sam Ballot that's going to want to breach the wall. There's always going to be a Sam Ballot who don't want to see it. See, this is the sad thing about Sam Ballot is he does not understand or know, but he does know because what he's looking out for himself. He's worried about the other kingdoms, that if this wall up around this kingdom, it's going to be fortified. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be better. It's going to be even better than what it was before. And therefore, it would not be easy to conquer. It would not be easy to get inside of. It would not be easy to take advantage of. It won't be easy to run it the way I want to run it. It would not be easy for me to do whatever I want to do. See, when you know who you are in God, when God has established you, when he's put you in that place, and you know that he's put you in that place, you're not easily moved. And the enemy knows that. And since you're not easily moving, the enemy knows that, then he has what, a tougher time trying to move you off the spot. He has a tougher time trying to move you off the place. He has a tougher time of getting you out of the way. So that way, because if you're out of the way, then he can do whatever he wants to do. Do you not know that you and I, brothers and sisters, that we are the wall that we're talking about here today? Yes, he's talking about a physical wall there. But also there's another level, metaphorically a wall that's standing in Christ. And what he's calling us to do today, Safe House Church, is that we are to uphold the standard. People are letting everything go these days. I see people got all kinds of things. I see preachers that I respect and saying all kinds of stuff and doing all kinds of stuff and making up all kinds of things because they've lost sight of the vision. And what he's reminding us that what we got to build this wall. And church, we're building this wall. And you know what? We're going to meet some opposition. But that wall is the standard. Because if we don't build that standard, we cannot protect this kingdom. And what's the kingdom? Those are our children, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren. There's a standard. They come around and tell you there's no God no more. You don't need the tithe no more. That's not biblical. It's not this. Keep believing that lie if you want. But for me and my house, I know what we're going to do. And we're going to be blessed. And we're going to be highly favored. And even when it don't look like it, it's going to be like it. And I'm learning that what we can sail on the wings of Jesus and they can do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, do whatever they want to do, and go where they want to go. But I know what we're going to do. I know what the Safe House is going to do. I know what you have to, what you have to make up in your mind for yourself, in your own home. You're the priest of your home. You control what goes on in your home, not me. I'm your pastor. All I can do is tell you what God says. I can tell you what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, that's on you. It's a personal choice. I have choices. You have choices. And we are going to be held accountable for the choices we make. We're going to be held accountable for how we treat people. We're going to be held accountable how what we can do. I cannot handle I can't be held accountable for how somebody treats me. If they treat me poorly, that's a reflection of them. And I know that's not easily said. I know that's not easy when you see that they treat you badly, when they ridicule you. See, this is what they were saying. The Bible said here they were ridiculing Nehemiah for wanting to build the wall. Because Nehemiah was about the people. He was the people's champ. He wanted the people to be saved. And the standard that we're talking about is what? For the people. This wall that Christ is asking us to build is for the people. It's not about you. It's not about me. But we on this wall, what? For the people. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that this wall can be built. And it's going to be built through us. And you know what? It's going to be rebuilt quickly. And it's going to be rebuilt strong. So point number four, it's going to be rebuilt and it's going to be rebuilt quickly. There's a standard that God wants us to uphold, church. We can't just be blown away with any and every other wind of doctrine. The Bible talks about that in the last days, that perilous time shall come. That what? Men will be lovers of themselves. They're going to always choose them first. And I know it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And I know others will tell you, choose yourself. They choose them. Be, you know, go get yours because I got to get mine. Go do you, baby. Yeah, they say that. But I'm reminded at the end of the day, that's not who we are. We are the watchmen on the wall. And notice without the king's support, hey, until you get the king's support, ain't nothing you can do. But when you got the king's support, you go out there and you fight. And you fight hard. And know that what? We got the king's support. Because see, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he told us what? To hold up that standard. So we got the king's support. You got the king's support. The king's support is there for us if we tap into it. It's double duty, y'all. And we are armed. We are armed. We are working and we are armed. I know sometimes it gets tough. It gets tough for me sometimes too. You know, we praying and I got to go steady, Lord. And I got to read my Bible. And I got to do Bible class. And I got this. I got to be a family man. I got to be all these things. But he said, hold on. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, I'm learning to be patient. I'm learning to sit back. I'm learning to relax. As I get older, and I ain't going to tell y'all, it's been easy. It has not been easy. But these grays on my face are teaching me patience. They said that what it's until God says it's over. It's not done until God says it's over. And even then, what has God done in your life? What in 52 days that you what weight were you holding on that you gave up in those 52 days? See, we're coming on this time where people are doing all kinds of things. They got Lent. And they said, what did you give up for Lent? I gave up. No, say I gave up the music for Lent. Then as soon as it's over, what do? They go right back and listen to that music. So every year you get what? Better. And better. And better. And better. You see what I'm saying? So this is what you know it's supposed to be. Every year. Better, 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 better. So notice, brothers and sisters. It's not over that. We're working double duty. But in that working of double duty, that what we are what? Working and we're armed. And when you hear the call to battle, come together. But know this, that we're going to win. Despite what it looks like, despite what's being said, despite the circumstances, despite what you see, and everything against you looks like it's stacked against you. As they were saying, the odds are definitely stacked against you. Sam Ballett, Tobiah, Gershom, they didn't want him to build that wall because it was going to foil their plans. It was going to not let them do what they wanted to do. It was not going to allow them to take over those people. But God had a plan. And he put it on the heart of Nehemiah to go out there and rebuild that wall. And he's putting it in our heart that way. It's not about us. But there's a city around us that needs to be rebuilt. And it's the standard of his glory and his grace and his mercy. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this word of today, Lord, that it be written upon the table of your brothers and sisters' hearts on this morning. Lord, I ask that you touch them, oh God. Lord, you see where they are, Lord. Let not give up, oh God. Lord, let them know, Lord, it's not over until you say it's over. It's not done until you say it's done, oh God. Lord, remind us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to go forward, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are provider. You're Jehovah Nissi, that you find out about. You're Jehovah Sikkim, that you God Almighty. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we honor you, Lord Jesus, in this place. We honor you in this space, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for your love, your power, and your strength, oh God. I ask that you help us, oh God, to be all that you cause us to be, to do all that you cause us to do, to say what you cause us to say, to live how you cause us to live, and to pray how you cause us to pray. And I want to say I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God. Strength us. Oh God, let us keep the faith, oh God, as we go forward, Lord. I ask that you bring healing, oh God. I see touch my brother there, Brother Williams, oh God, Tony Williams, touch him from the head to the soles of his feet, oh God. Sister Williams, family Williams, oh God. Lord Francis Williams, oh God, touch her, Lord. She's like only you can, Lord. Love on them, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God. Lord, touch your people, oh God. Lord, you help us to do all the things that we need to do on this week, Lord. Let us walk forward, oh God. Lord, and let us walk in your mercy and your grace and your power, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. All the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, belongs to you and you alone. We dare not to say, Lord, but we honor you. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true. We walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all, each and every one of you on this one. I hope that you found today's message to be inspiring, to be encouraging to you, to let you know, give up. Not give up. God, he's not forgotten us. That he said he'd do it, that he should come to. And that we are what? To hold up this standard. We're to fight. And know that the king is on our side. And if the king supports us, that he got our back. That if he's for us, he's more than the world against us. He will fight for us. God bless you. I love you. You be so kind. If the Lord has blessed you anyway, I ask you all would help us here to say, Church, we do the cash out here for our offer at this last rich day. That's PayPal/rich day, or you can send it in the mail at Find the Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Again, it's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Then the Luke 6:38 says, "Is give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, press down, and shake it together. And run over shall men give unto your bosom." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, each and every one of you. I want to give a couple of quick announcements. Remember, on Monday nights, we have the Women at the Well. The Women at the Well. Love to have you there. Please just go to safehousechurchgso.com/women. Register there. They will send you a link, a private link, and there you can spend time with them there. God bless you all. I love you all. I ask that you all continue to pray for me as I continue to pray for you. Remember, we will be in prayer on 6 a.m. on tomorrow morning. I ask that you all pray for me as I got to travel and I got some things I have to do for work today. Just pray that his mercy, his grace, and his favor be upon us, and we're going to come out on top. It's not over until God says over, but remember that we got to keep fighting and working at the same time. God bless you all. I love you all. Church, you all take care, and I bid you guys speed. Bye-bye.